Okay, so it's Rosh Chodesh. I have a short class today. Beginning of Shlishi, in the third reading, the Torah discusses the arrangements of the Jewish encampment. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aharon lemer. The second chapter, Book of Numbers. God speaks to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Ish al Digle. Literally, that translates as each man by his flag. Ba'oisos, according to the signs, lebeis avosim, that was given to their fathers' homes. Yachadu b'nei Yisrael, that's how the children of Israel should camp. Mineged, saviv le'ohel moed, close, but around the ohel moed. So the Jewish encampment will hug the ohel moed, the tent of meeting, where God's presence is, but it will be saviv, around the ohel moed. What does this mean? Lots to talk about here. Number one, the Torah says, Ishal Digloi. The Torah says that each one will be by his flag. And then the Torah says, not only do we talk about a flag, but we talk about Be'oseis. So Rashi doesn't say anything about the flag or banner. But for example, Rabbeinu Bechaya says that there were actually 12 flags, 12 individual banners for each tribe. And the difference between them was in color. The difference between them was perhaps also in imagery. And this was similar to the flags that they saw on high. It says when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, the heavens were torn open, whatever that means. And they were able to see the angelic reality. And they saw the angels had banners or had flags. And they wanted those flags, it says Nisavo. They craved those flags. So God says, okay, no problem, you're gonna have flags too. And this is the flags we talk about. Now the Abarbanel does not agree with the approach of the Bechaya. He says that in my opinion there was only four flags, and that's what Torah identifies, four individual banners, with three tribes grouped around each one. But he says, according to the ones who say that there was 12 flags, fine, he says, can't argue, it's 12 flags. Interestingly, some of the Mefarshim suggest that, like for example, the Emek Dover says there was the major flag and then there were smaller flags. You know, it's like I think the IDF has banners for every single, probably most armies have, for every subsection. This is there was the major banner of of all three tribes together, or the encampment, the north, south, the west, east, and then there was like smaller flags as well. Rashi doesn't deal with that at all. Rashi just goes straight to the idea of Ba'isis. He says, what does Ba'isis mean? Okay, I know what a flag is. So Rashi says, you should know that the word Ba'ot, Ot is a simon, is a sign. And he says, quote, Kol degel yiyalei ot. Not every flag, not only did it have an individual color, not only was it a piece of cloth that was identifiable by virtue of its hue, but it also had a particular sign on it. Umapa tzavua teluyabai. And he says there was also a colorful piece of cloth. V'tzivai shelzeh, loy ketzivai shelzeh. The colors changed. Nobody had the same colors. Nobody had identical colors. So every flag had an insignia, but every flag also had individual colors. And he says, how would you choose the colors? That's kegavon avnoi hakavua b'choshen, in accordance with the color of the precious gemstone that represented the tribe on the breastplate. So it was a ruby, and it was a red color. It was an emerald, it was a green color, and so on and so forth. And in doing so, yakir kol echad es digley, each one would recognize his banner, or each one would recognize his area. And that's how people got around. So that's to say that when the Jewish people encamped, if you only had an insignia, you have to be close up to see the sign. But if you see colors are visible from very far away. So therefore, the main thing was the color, because it was color-coded. So we had a color-coded encampment, and the array of tents was set up by color code. Davar Acher, Rashi says, there's a problem with that. And the problem is that Be'oseis means signs, not color. So if it was color, it should have said Betzeva. It doesn't say Betzeva. It says Be'ot. Tzeva is a color. Ot is a sign, an insignia. It doesn't seem to jibe. So Why does it say ba'ota? Therefore, Rashi feels compelled to give you another answer. And he says, the other explanation is, ba'otot lebeit avotam, that the array of tents was in accordance with the manner that their father had given them signs. Ba'os shamoser lehem Yaakov avim, these were the signs that Yaakov, our father Jacob, had given, kishenosu mimitzayim, when they left Egypt. It says, vayasu b'nev loy kein kasher tzivam. His sons did for him exactly as he had commanded. What was that? They carried his coffin in formation. Yehuda v'Yisachar v'Zvulun, they carried together Yisauhu min HaMizrach, they were carrying the east side of the coffin. Reuven, Shimon, and Gad min HaDorim, from the south, Chulu, etc. So each one, k'deisa b'Tanchuma, like it says in Medrash Tanchuma and Parsha Zu, so each one was in its proper array, and that was the array that come from Yaakov Avinu, the last time the Jewish people traveled from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, carrying the Aron, the coffin of Yaakov Avinu. They went in formation, the formation that Yaakov had indicated for them, carried by the actual fathers, by the actual tribes. So now the Jewish people, descendants of those very Shvatim, were, so to speak, escorting the Aron Kodesh, the Holy Ark, and we're going back to Eretz Yisrael. But there's a sweep of history. We're walking in the steps of our fathers. As they walked in their time, we walk in our time. As they carried the coffin of Yaakov, which a tzaddik is like the Luchot, now the Shvatim are hugging the Mishkan, at the epicenter of which is the Aron, and they're going in the same formation. And Rashi says, what is the meaning of the word mineged then? Mineged doesn't mean corresponding to, but it means mirachik mil, the distance of about 2,000 amot. Kamo shenemar b'Yehoshua, like it says in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 4, ach rachik yeh beinechem uveinov kalpayim ama, that when the Jewish people would stand to enter the land of Israel, the Aron Brit Hashem, the covenant, the Ark of Covenant, would travel before them. But Yehoshua says that it should not stand more than 2,000 amot away. And the space, the area of scrimmage around, was all as an act of honor and glory for Hashem, as Rashi explains over there. So why can't, if you want to give honor and glory, why only 2,000 amos? It's not so much space. They give broad space, a lot of space. It should be at a greater distance. So Rashi says, no, it can't be any greater distance. And the reason is, sheyuchlu lavo b'Shabbos, they should be able to come to the Mishkan on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is not just about things we don't do. Shabbos are things we do. And Shabbos has to create the atmosphere of holiness, an environment of closeness to Hashem. And where better to curate such an environment but closeness to Hashem and Hashem Shekhinah. So obviously, Shabbos is the best day to go to the Mishkan. And therefore, if it would be 2,000 amos, it would be a problem. And Rashi adds, Moshe, V'Aaron, Uvonov, Moses, Aaron, their children, V'Halavim, Chonim B'Samachlo. They were encamped close to it. So we need to understand the end of this Rashi. The business of the colors versus the insignia is easy to understand. Because ba'otot lebeit avotam, if you want to identify the different areas, it doesn't make sense to say it was just an insignia, a sign. Sign can only be seen from up close. What we could identify from a distance? The colors. Why do they need the banners? So they should be able to find their way home. So therefore, if you had a banner which was large and noticeable by its color, therefore Rashi interprets the idea of the banner was, whether it was a insignia or not, it was of secondary importance. So, for example, the Ibn Ezra has a totally different approach. He says, no, there was signs. And he says, when our Reuven was blessed, so Reuven has this imagery of the Dudaim, of those jasmine or mandrake flowers, which look like little people. And that's why they used to think in times of antiquity that it was a propitian for bringing children into the world, for example. And this is a discussion of which flower it was, but it seems to look like a little stick man. Because it's a little stick person, so therefore that's why he was identified with that. So it says the Reuven's flag, Reuven's banner, had the picture of that mandrake or that flower, little stick man on it. And on the degel of Yehuda there was a large lion, because he is metaphorized as a lion. And on the degel of Ephraim there was a large ox, because Yosef is metaphorized as an ox. And he says Dun didn't get a snake, he says the Ibn Ezra says Dun got a nesher, an eagle. So these are various imagery of a stick man, of a lion, of an eagle, of an ox. Rashi doesn't follow that, even though the truth is, if you want to be faithful to the word be'otot, ot means a sign, ot doesn't mean a color. Why doesn't Rashi follow that? Because Ibn Ezra sticks to the technical words always. Rashi always looks at things syntactically, in a broader perspective. Yes, the word itself means something like that, but the purpose is defeated. You can't see it from a distance. And who knows, who says there was wind in the desert? Who says even that the flag was unfurled? So how would it make it easier for people to find their way? But if it's a color, The colors are easy. It's very interesting that in today's day and age, when they talk about flags, and I'm at these parades all the time and these police things, they call it presenting the colors. That's what the flags are called. Present the colors. If you saw yesterday at the event in the embassy in Jerusalem, the guy, you know, called out colors, flags. It's like universal in the Western world. It's all British, I think. It's exactly what they do here with the police when we do these ceremonies. So it's called presenting the colors. Lower the colors, raise the colors. It's just biblical. It's, right? But it's not called insignia. It's not called sign, even though Canada has a maple leaf and stars and stripes. It's not called stars and stripes. It's not called the leaf. It's called the colors. But yet, the color is what's identifiable when far away. That's what's easily seen. So therefore, Rashi follows the idea, but that doesn't address the idea of Ba'otot. Therefore, Rashi says Ba'otot means there was a sign. I mean, there is an opinion of the Chizkuni, who says that the letters of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov showed up on a different flag. So he says one letter said, one flag said Aleph Yod Yud for Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, an acronym. The next flag said Beis Tzadik Ayin for Avraham Beis, and Tzadik is for the second letter of Yitzchak and Ayin. And the third flag said Mem Kuf Beis. And the fourth flag said, what are these four flags? Anyway, he works that house. Resh Ches Kuf and then Mem Kuf Beis, which is totally not, it doesn't help anybody. Now, just some Hebrew letters, how would you see them from far away? Especially because it seems they didn't use the Oisius Middle Beis, the letters that we use today. They use hieroglyphic letters, like from a distance wouldn't be seen. So I says it means colors. But the sign says that's formation. He talks about formation. It says the tribes were camped in formation. And then he talks about the area that the Mishkan was in, an area which was designated unto itself. And that was for the honor of the from Hashem, like Rashi explains in the book of Joshua. But the funny thing is, it's only 2,000 amot, which really isn't that much. So therefore, Rashi says this is because you have to be able to get there on Shabbos. And he finishes off with a discussion of how Moshe and Aaron camped. So the question is, what does Moshe and Aaron's camping have to do with anything? What does Rashi add in those last five words when he says that, yes, this is how it was. It was Moshe and the Levium over there, and it couldn't be too far away. And Moshe and Aaron Ubanov and the Levium. Well, it's like Moshe, Aaron Ubanov and the Levium? No, it's the Levites and Moshe, Aaron Ubanov. And anyway, Moshe, Aaron Ubanov, Moshe, that was the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi doesn't fit into formation, just like Levi did not carry the ark. And actually, the Chizkuni says that where was the hay? Because Avram has five letters in his name. He has a hay. He says the hay was the Levium that were camped around the Mishkan. That was like a hay. They represented the hay or Hashem.
So the Levium camped circle?
The Levium camped in a circle, right. Correct, around the Shekhinah, around the tabernacle.
And everybody else is east-west.
Everyone was east-west, correct. So now, and then that itself is a question exactly how it was. It was like a... if they marched exactly in that formation, or they went into long columns, or they marched like in that box-like formation. So here, in Simon Yud Aleph of the Biurim, the Rebbe asks this question, which is not an original question. The question is asked by the Bartanura, the David Luria, and the Maskal David asks the question. Various others, the question is asked. The question is, what exactly did Rashi intend to accomplish with these words, Moshe, Va'ar, and Uvanov? So the Rebbe says, here is the answer. Rashi's point is to explain why the distance between the Mishkan and the tribes was only 2,000 amos. Because if we're talking about the glory, the awe, the reverence, should have been more than 2,000 amos. The more space there would be, the more distant, so to speak, the more respectful. 2,000 amos isn't that far away. So Rashi says, no, it has to be that close, and that's in order, lahatil ibn Yisrael, lovei l'mishkan b'shabbos. But l'cha'ira, that doesn't really answer the question. And I'll tell you why. Because 2,000 amos is only if it would be empty space. But it wasn't 2,000 amos of empty space. Who filled the 2,000 amos? What did we learn yesterday? The Levites. The Levian filled the 2,000 amos. So probably it could have been even 4,000 amos. And it would be 2,000 amos of Levi encampment. And the Levium should be told to camp in a way which is a little bit spread out. And then you'd have an extra 2,000 amos. So if you were seeking honor, if you're seeking homage, if you're seeking that empty space, it should have been much more than 2,000 amas. The 2,000 amma paradigm doesn't seem to fit. On the contrary, you could even suggest there was hardly any space that was left empty. There was hardly any respectful distance. On this very issue, Rashi answers, no, Moshe v'Aaron uvanov v'halvim. The emphasis here is on Moshe v'Aaron uvanov. In other words, on page Chaf Aleph, Machana Halavim Hikif es Hashchina Mishalish Kivunim Bilvaad. The Levites dwelt on three sides. On three sides. Ve'ilu b'mizrachi, but in the eastern facade was only Chanurak Moshe v'Aaron. That was the royal family. Moshe, Aaron, and the children. How many tents did Moshe, Aaron, and his children take up? Muvon sha'olehem, their tents, tafsu shetach katan b'vad. It's two tents, three tents, two families. Three families. You can't say, what, 2,000 and 2 amas? How much could a tent take up? 2,006 amas? It didn't make a difference. So therefore, the 2,000 amas was really required in order to keep symmetry. Where was the 2,000 amas required from? From the eastern side. And very interestingly, so you could have said, okay, so walk around from the side to get there on Shabbos. No, it had to be accessible everywhere. The Mishkan had to be equidistant to everybody. And everybody had to be equally accessible to everybody. And anyway, the right way to come is on the eastern side. That's where the front door is. Betzada mizrach efa le'nitin hayo laharkes machnes sol yoser. It couldn't have been more than a mil. It couldn't have been more than 2,000 amas from the place where Moshe and Aaron were. U'me'acha she'metzada mizrach le'nitin lahagdalas amerchek yoser mimil. Since on the eastern side, it couldn't be expanded beyond the mil. Nikva merchek zeh. That's why the same space, the equidistance, was also placed all around, even though, truth to be told, in the west and the east and in the west and north and south, it could have been more than 2,000 amas. But in order to maintain the symmetry, and this is the Be'isis, that it was all information, that's why 2,000 amas was the number. This is a very practical answer. This is what's called the profundity of simplicity. Everybody asked this question, but nobody gave the simple answer. Whatever, so what do you mean? As, how does it say? It's elementary, Mewa. It's a no-brainer. It's because on one side, Moshe v'Aaron v'Banav. And that's what Rashi is alluding to. And what we see here is how everything has to be in a seder, in an order, be'oisos, in a sweep of history, according to the order of our fathers. Everything has to be in formation. Things are not haphazard when it comes to Yiddishkeit. And the Mishkan must always be accessible, especially on Shabbos. And with this, let's move on to the Shchedesh Davening.